welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If it's your very first time, a very, very warm welcome. Thank you so much. We hope you've enjoyed what you've seen so far. If you're one of the regulars, I want to say we love you. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. If you're in the Northwest or Northeast or somewhere in Africa or America or South America, wherever else you are, we want to say you're really, really welcome. We hope and pray that God's been really speaking to you and you've had some fun. You've been enjoying Dave and Kat. Well done, Dave and Kat. Amazingly funny, especially David. Isn't he a comedian? He really is. He's very good. If you missed last week, he told some jokes. They weren't great jokes, but they were jokes. And you can go back last week and have a listen to Dave's jokes. They're awesome. Anyway, I want to begin with a prayer because I'm really believing today that God's going to speak to you. He's going to say something to you, something that's going to change your life forever. So let's just close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are with us wherever we are. If we're listening at home or in the car or at the office or we're walking or biking, whatever we're doing, God, you can speak to us. And so, God, I pray that you will help us to open our hearts, our minds and our lives to you, that you may instruct us and teach us, that you may challenge us, that you may change us, that you may inspire us, Father, to be the very best person that you've created us to be. And Father, if there's somebody listening today to this message and they don't know you, they've not yet made you the king of their life, Father, speak to them. Open up their heart. Unblock their ears. Open their spiritual eyes that they may see who they are and who you are and may decide to follow you on this day or very soon. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Oh man, guys, it is great to be with you. Well, I hope you have your Bibles and your notebooks and pens or your iPads, whatever you use, really, really handy, because I am really believing that God's going to say something to you today. Well, I love the Bible and I love the Gospels. The Gospels are the stories about Jesus. And I've just been reading through Matthew. Matthew writes his Gospel to the Jews, to his fellow nation, really to explain Jesus' life and, as it were, persuade them, inspire them that Jesus is the Messiah that they've been waiting for, the King of Kings, God himself, down on earth. And he tells lots of stories and parables. The very end of his book, chapters 26 to 28, he talks about Jesus' death and resurrection. But just before he does that, in chapters 23 to 25, he talks about the end times, as it were, the end of all things. And if you're taking notes, why don't you just write at the top of your notes, the end of all things. Now, it's not the end of all things, it's just the end of all the things that we know about, because it's actually the beginning of all the new things that are going to happen. But it is the end of all things as they were. And Matthew tells some stories that Jesus tells about what's going to happen in those days before the new heaven and the new earth appear. And the very last story that Matthew writes down that Jesus talks about is a story about the sheep and the goats. And I just want to speak very briefly on that today. So if you have your Bible, but it will kind of appear like magic, we're going to read from Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep and from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you are blessed in my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also would answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's a bit of a scary passage, really, but it's truth. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples truth. The truth of things that happen at the end. And I just want to spend a few moments, as I said, exploring them. I think the first thing Jesus says, and I believe the most important thing he says is this. He says, he is the king. He says there, doesn't he, in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. He says, when I come back in my glory, I will be king. He'll be in his glory. He'll be in his new resurrected body. Incorruptible and immortal. The Bible shares one or two pictures and they talk about him, but all bronzy and shiny and fiery and scary and with a tongue, with a sword and all sorts of things. But he'll come in his powerful form because he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to come with all his angels. All the heavenly hosts will be with him. A bit like, you can't mess with me because you've got to mess with all those guys as well. He'll not just be king, he'll be king with authority and the power to make his authority stick. And he will sit on the seat of authority, on the throne from heaven. Jesus is king and he will demonstrate he has both control and he is in charge of everything. Matthew 24 kind of describes it in more detail. Matthew 24, verse 30, it says this, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations on the earth will mourn. Well, why will they mourn? Well, they mourn because they suddenly realize this truth that Jesus is king. He's always been king. He is king. But in that moment, when the sky kind of bursts into something and all the nations can see, they'll suddenly dawn on him that Jesus is not just a history figure, somebody who lived many years ago, but he's alive. He's living and he's powerful and he's back to claim the earth to himself. And they'll mourn. They'll be sad because they'll go like, oh my goodness, I heard but I didn't realize. I heard but I haven't done anything about it. I heard and I just didn't want to believe or I didn't believe. I heard but I ignored it. But he will be back in his glory. So they'll mourn. Then it says, they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory and will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And the Bible talks about them having great rejoicing. Jesus is king. It's the first thing that Jesus says in this story. And it's so, so important. I want to ask this question. Is Jesus king of your life today? You might go, Pastor Ed, this is the first time I've watched this. I mean, come on, it's the first time I've even thought about it. Seriously, I don't know. It's too soon for you to ask that. Do you know, that's perfect. What a perfect response. You're right. It probably is a bit too soon. Though God is willing and able to actually reveal everything to you right now. But you might say, can I just say, yes, you can. But what we'd love to do is we'd love to send you a gift of the Bible. If you're interested or you've drifted away and you don't have one of these books, you don't have the Gospels, the stories of Jesus to hand, we'd love to send you a Bible. Why don't you jump on to either, if it's going out live, jump on valleychurch.online, go on the chat, press on the prayer buttons and say, hey, can I have a Bible? And give us an email or an address or something and we will send something to you. Or if you listen to this after it's live, why don't you jump onto valleychurch.eu, find the, what's the right page, tech guys? valleychurch.eu/next. Thank you, Stephen, he's over there. So valleychurch.eu/next steps. Put your address and your details in and we would love to send you a Bible. Right today, it'll take a few days to get, but we'd love to see why. And then you can read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and discover who Jesus is from live witness accounts that are recorded over 2,000 years ago. But perhaps you've been watching these a long time, Or perhaps one day Jesus was king, but he's not king anymore. But you know it's time to do something about it. Well, Dave and Kat, our MC, at the end of the message, we'll give you a moment to actually give your life back to him, to make him king again of your life. But perhaps you're listening to this, you know, Pastor Ed, I know Jesus is king, and he is king of my life. Well, I have a simple question to ask you. Is that kingship make a difference in your life? Do you know that Jesus is in control, that he has, as it were, he's in charge of your life and of all of history? And are you at peace knowing that he's in charge? You know, in this season, it's a very strange season. It's so easy to be fearful and worried. But you need to know that Jesus is in charge and you can relax and let the peace of God and the joy of God penetrate every part of your life. Why? Because he is king and he has you safe and sound. Jesus then goes on to talk about the second most important thing, I think, in all of history. If the most important thing is Jesus is king, he's Lord of all, then the second most important thing is that everybody is going to get judged at the end of all things. It says there in verse 31, all the nations, everybody will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. The sheep, the righteous ones, as it says in verse 37, the ones who are going to be blessed by God, the ones who are going to receive an inheritance prepared from the beginning of time. And the goats, the non-righteous. And Jesus is quite brutal, really, isn't he? What does he call them in verse 41? He says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. No, Jesus isn't talking about good or bad people. He's talking about people who are righteous and who are unrighteous. People who have recognized that Jesus is king and done something about it. The righteous and those who haven't. Those who are going to mourn and those who aren't going to mourn when Jesus comes back again. You know, if recognizing Jesus is king is the most important thing that any of us can do, the second most important thing that we can remember is this, that there will be a judgment for every single human being, the living and the dead. It says in Revelation 21:12 that the dead will come back to life, as it does in 1 Thessalonians 4, if you want to go and have a look at it. Do you know, I'm a minister, a pastor. Michelle is a pastor. So many people here at Valley serve and give for one thing, so that people can hear this truth that God loves them. And there is a judgment, but Jesus came to save them so that they could be counted as one of the righteous, one of the sheep, and they can be blessed and receive an inheritance from God. Nothing actually is more important to me than for you to understand this message. But it's worth noting for all of us, I think particularly for those who know that Jesus is king, that sheep and goats are not easily indistinguished. And you might go, really, are sheep and goats not different? They are very different. But let's face it, they're small, woolly things. And if you don't know your sheep and your goats very much, they're just like white, woolly things. In ancient days and even today's, often sheep and goats are mixed up. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a farmer's son. I spent many years farming. I know sheep. There's all sorts of different sizes of sheep and goats. And if you lump them all together, it's actually really hard to know which a sheep is and which a goat is. And you see, it's so easy that for us who know Jesus to think that some people are sheep, and some people are goats. Well, actually, the sheep is not a sheep, it's a goat, and the goat isn't really a goat, it's a sheep. So I want to encourage, let's make sure all of us both are clear on our understanding of who the righteous and the unrighteous are, but more than that, that we presume people are goats. People don't know the gospel. And so therefore, it's our responsibility, our joy, our privilege to help them understand about Jesus and his death, his resurrection, and the salvation that he offers each and every person. Because sheep and goats are actually really hard to distinguish. Let's do this day by day. So having established in the story that he is king and there's going to be a judgment for everybody, he then goes on to talk about what the people who are sheep look like. And he describes them who, you know, who visit the sick, who visit those in prison, who give drinks and food, and give people accommodation and hospitable and everything like that. But he says something that's really interesting. He says in verse 40 this, the king replies to the righteous, he says this in verse 40, I tell you the truth, whoever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. If you did one of these things for these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Well, who are these brothers? Who is Jesus talking about? All these good things that the righteous have done, who have they done them to? Because he keeps talking about, for I was hungry, and for I was thirsty, and for I was in prison, and I, and he kept, well, who is this I? Who are these brothers that he's talking about? Well, Matthew's already told us. Now, if you're like me, you probably tend to dip in and out of the Bible. You read a chapter or two at once. You tend not to read the whole book, but Matthew wrote the whole thing as a whole book. And just a few chapters before, in chapter 12, he's told those who are reading his book who his brothers are. So in Matthew 12, verse 48, Matthew 12, 48 says, he replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And then he points to his disciples, he says there in verse 49, he says, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother. In Luke 8, verse 21, Luke records it, that the brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. The sheep, the righteous, have been busy caring for those who God loves. His people who are following him, his disciples, his church. The people that have Jesus as king actually put their first effort, their first love into loving those that God loves. John 15, verse 9 to 12 says that Jesus says, I love those who are my followers, and I command you, he says in verse 12, to love those as well. Remember though, good deeds alone will never save you. Jesus isn't trying to say that. What he's trying to say is this is how the sheep look. The sheep look like those who are doing good and loving the people I love, loving the church. John 6, verse 43 says that only if you believe in Jesus can you have eternal life. John 8, verse 34 says that actually we are slaves in our sin, in our wrongdoing, and only he can give us freedom. And John 6, 53 to 58, which is pretty gruesome reading. So I'll read that again for those of you who want to look it up. John 6, 53 to 58, talking about how the cross and his death and his blood are the things that will sustain us, will give us bread from heaven, will give us eternal life. It's only through Jesus' death and resurrection can we actually have righteousness, but that should show itself in action. Have a look at James 2, 14 to 17. And James talks about that our faith should be demonstrated. Martin Luther, one of our famous kind of theologians of years gone past, says this, that a man is justified by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. Genuine faith will produce good deeds, but only faith in Christ can save you. But sheep, if you know your sheep, you love the church, you'll be supporting the church, the people of God, and helping them fulfill the mission that God has given them. Jesus finishes by explaining what's going to happen at the very end. It says at the end there'll be a judgment, but this judgment will be final and forever. We're quite used to in our country, when criminals go to jail, they have, as it were, a term. They get a term. Get 6 years or 10 years. And then after the term's finished, they, as it were, they get released. They get kind of past it and they get back into freedom again. As a society, we believe in grace and mercy. We believe in forgiveness, and that's good and healthy. But there'll come a day, there'll come a time when that's all finished. At the end of all things, until the new starts, the end of all things, that will come to an end. And there will be a decision made. A final decision made. And this is why Matthew finishes with this story. Why? Because this is huge news. There'll come in a moment in history, a moment in time, where every single human being will stand before the throne and a decision will be made over their life for eternity. It will be a decision that once it's made will never be revoked. It will stand forever. The righteous will go into heaven. They'll be going to be blessed to an inheritance that God has prepared for them from the beginning of time. And those who aren't righteous, those who aren't followers of Jesus, will go into a lost eternity away from God. Revelation talks about an eternal fire, a second death in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And Matthew finishes with this verse, this serious news that Jesus brings on purpose, because he's about to talk about Jesus' death. And only something so serious would cause a man to walk to a cross on purpose. And church, this is my cry today, that you would realize, that each one of us would realize the seriousness of what we're involved with. You know I love having fun, and I think Christians should be the happiest people on earth. We really should. We really, really should. But actually behind it all is something so serious, because it's leading to this moment, a moment in time at the end of all things, when Jesus will make decisions over every human being, and then it will be too late. We will no longer have time. Grace will be finished. It'll be decided. Those who have grace, it'll be fixed. The chance of forgiveness will be over. It will be done. If you know Jesus, never forget this. Every day, every moment, you get a chance to tell people stories like this that Jesus told. Tell them. And I know you're not going to talk about sheep and goats because, well, most people really don't care about sheep and goats anymore. There's not many of us left, right? But think of your own stories, your own illustrations, your own way, your own story of how you can help people understand these things that Jesus was so passionate about, and we should be so passionate about, that Matthew was so passionate about. Perhaps during this message you've been listening and you say, actually, Pastor, I would love at this moment to make Jesus my King. I don't know everything, I only know a few things, but I want to begin that relationship. Well, Dave and Kat will be back in a moment to just take you through that, to give you a moment to say yes to Jesus. But for the rest of us, I'm going to pause. I'm going to give you a moment of stillness where you can just ponder and ask God again, God, help me to realize the urgency and serious nature of what you have called me to do, which sent you to earth, but also sent you on earth to die. Father, oh Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Jesus to die for us, that we could become righteous by believing in you and believing in all that you have done for us. And then demonstrating that by loving the church, your disciples, your brothers, and showing the world of the love that your kingdom possesses. Father, help us on a Monday and a Tuesday to also remember the seriousness. Father, during Christmas, as we celebrate, help us to remember the seriousness of all that it means, why Jesus came. Father, may we remember this story and remember its meanings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.